Be part of an innovative fine arts community immersed in a top research university. Carnegie Mellon University's School of Music's world-class vocal department constantly works at the cutting edge of musical art forms. CMU performance faculty are creating projects that leverage musicians' skill sets in unique and applicable ways. Students are challenged to think outside the box as they engage with non-traditional performance spaces, collaboration with electronics, and improvisation, alongside a robust program of traditional studies, languages, recitals, and operas. To learn more about Carnegie Mellon University and to apply, visit the link in the show notes of this episode.
This is So Lit Songlit, a production of Cincinnati Song Initiative, where we reimagine the repertoire by introducing less familiar art songs through sound clips and lively discussion.
I'm vocal coach Ellen Rissinger.
I'm soprano Tony Marie Palmertree.
And I'm tenor Zachary Dean Smith.
Join us as we explore this exciting repertoire.
Songlit, songlit, reimagining the repertoire.
One of the most often performed operas since 2014 is the opera As One, written by Laura Kaminsky. So we are going to focus on her songs today, because not only has she composed operas, she has also composed quite a number of songs. And the lovely thing about it is that she has a link on her own website to the Bilholab music page where you can purchase any of these scores. So it's very easy to find her music, and as well as her CDs, all of that is listed on her website. So any of this stuff we will be able to send you to very quickly.
Great.
So what should we know about her before we start talking about music, Zach?
Well, you've already mentioned one of, I think, the most important parts of her contributions to modern music, the idea of As One, a piece that is about the concept of being a transgender person and the sort of story of one's life when one is transgender to that regard. Kaminsky, it's worth noting, is an openly out lesbian woman married to Rebecca Allen.
And alive.
And a living composer, which is always a nice change of pace for those of us in classical music.
And I'm not going to give dates, but she's not much older than I am, so.
No, she's had quite an interesting career working in a bunch of different places. I know she went and lived and worked in Ghana for a short while, and Poland, and a couple of other places throughout her career. She's quite well-traveled, but still sort of centers in the United States. And a lot of her works focus on poetry of queer poets, which has been the case for a lot of the composers we've looked at so far.
And it says directly on her website that a lot of the music that she composes, she's looking to talk about society and what's going on, and to make social commentary, to make social discussion start.
Mm-hmm. And queer issues in particular are obviously a focus for her.
Mm-hmm. She's really a champion for this community. She, along with the other creators of the opera As One, Kimberly Reed and Mark Campbell and herself, they created a new award specifically for transgender or non-binary opera artists in collaboration with Washington National Opera. It's called the True Voice Award, and it's given out every 3 years. It provides career training, artistic coaching, funding, performance opportunities. So that might be something, if you are part of that community, you might want to look out for as a resource for yourself.
That's exactly.
Pretty cool.
So the pieces that we decided to focus on for today were one of the two Whitman songs that she composed, and also five songs of Fossett and Grimke. And please forgive me if I am mispronouncing names, because I'm looking at these and seeing them kind of French. So she could be Fawcett and Grimke. I'm not sure there's an accent on the E of Grimke, so I'm going to assume we have to say that vowel. But let's start with the Whitman song. So talk to us also about Walt Whitman, because he's also part of the queer community.
Yes, Walt Whitman is probably one of the most important people in poetry of his time. He's quite known for his impact on free verse and the way that he was able to write some very evocative and beautiful poetry in a way that broke a lot of earlier forms, whilst also being expressing a profound love for other men, which, you know, was impacted by his, by the way that the Civil War shaped America at the time. He's a very powerful and important American poet, and we see him set by quite a few different queer composers.
There are only two songs in this set, and the first song is called To a Stranger. As Zach was saying, the text is very evocative, and I feel like already creates a sense of, I want to say, hollowness somehow.
I feel like the piano sets the scene immediately. I feel like I'm in a movie scene, like dark alley,
yes,
a voyeur, you know, something to that effect.
And the piano, the indication is chant-like and dreamlike.
Mm.
So we'll see if you think I achieved that on the piano.
Piano gets out of the way for the singer, you know, and then there's that marking, you know, chant like. So the voice part is more melodic.
Yeah.
And the piano seems to be kind of, if we're going with my scene set, you know, the sounds of the alley, if you were, that might not be what they were after. But
well,
anyway.
Well, and the chords are really quite crunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they do give you a lot of emotion. They give you a lot of imagery, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's what makes me feel street scene for me. That's what happened in my brain.
Yeah. When it comes to the five songs, and again, I'm going to just say these names the way I think they are, of Fawcett and Grimke.
If you mispronounce them, you will be forgiven, Ellen. I
promise.
It's
not the way my world works, but okay. The first song is called Your Hands. And I have to say, this text is sexy.
Yeah. And I think the poet, the history of the poet, like, tell us about that, because that's really interesting, too.
The poet for this text was Angelina Grimke, and she was historically, she was 3/4 white and 1/4 black, and therefore was considered a black woman at the time. She lived from 1880 to 1958, and what I love on her Wikipedia page is that there's an entire section devoted to her sexuality.
It's always convenient when we're doing research about these things to have it all just spelled out explicitly.
Exactly. So she knew already as a teen that she was gay. And as we were going through this text, we were trying to decide, as I said, the text is very sexy because it's very much about focusing in on the body part. And it's saying, I love your hands. They're big hands. They're firm hands. And then at one point it says, there's hair on them. But we were trying to figure out whether she meant the gentle yellow fuzzy peach hair like we have on our wrists, or whether they mean like the hair, like a thicker hair that a man would have had on his hands.
Yeah.
So in finding this, we are assuming that she means that there's hair, like little peach fuzz, towards the wrist.
I like the way that she sets the words, they build, you know, sort of from the bottom up as far as tonality. I love your hands. And then it gets higher. They are big hands, a little bit higher, firm hands, even higher. But then it drops down for gentle hands and then stays in that same place for hair grows on the back near the wrist. And so that's what kind of makes me think that it's like a very intimate moment where we're noticing things about our lover, our partner, that we wouldn't necessarily notice in everyday life. But, you know, we're really intimately noticing all of their features and just cherishing them.
The way the piano is set with this, it looks like it's bold and bombastic, but I think it's setting a really interesting mood. It's not static, but it's kind of static. There's a lot of repetition on the same pitches, so it's the rhythm that gives it interest, but it seems static because it's on the same pitch.
It's like that leftover energy after you've...
It sort of feels like a little bit of like a morning after, a little bit, in a positive way.
Mm. Yeah. We're still buzzing, but we're not active, but we're buzzing.
The second song in this set is called Words, Words, and each time has an exclamation mark, which I find really, really adorable. The poet for this is Jessie Redmond Fawcett, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. She was likely the first Black female student to attend Cornell University. And she graduated from there with a bachelor's degree in classical languages, which I thought was really neat. She got her degree in 1905 as a Black female.
That's a feat.
Right? She was not part of the queer community. She was happily married to a man, but her poetry is very cool. And she was actually the editor of the NAACP's magazine, The Crisis.
Oh, wow.
And she launched the careers of many unknown writers at the time, like County Cullen and Langston Hughes.
Wow.
She got them in that magazine.
Wow.
And was able to help start these unknown authors' careers.
Amazing.
Right?
Thanks.
I know. Super cool, right? So since we were discussing post-bliss, I'm not going to say the word that Sheldon Cooper would say on Big Bang Theory because I was just about to.
Some blissful moments.
The blissful moments afterwards. What I love about this next text is that it starts with the phrase, only the moment before we were one. Okay, so we've got a theme going.
Yeah, using the language only lovers know.
Mm-hmm.
There's something quite seductive about this text, isn't there?
Just slightly. And the music, when you look at it on the page, you can see that this music is meant to be, I want to say, unsubtly sexy, because it's a lot of triplets in the piano part, which to me gives you, you know, that groove.
Exactly. And the vocal part is like exchanging triplets with you. Mm-hmm. It's, we're not matching.
Mm-mm.
And we're like in and out of each other's triplets, which is very interesting.
A dance of partners, if you will.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then the next page, though, we abandon that.
Absolutely. And then all H-E double hockey sticks breaks loose, and I have lots of fun things to play. And then a word, a phrase that struck at the heart. I mean, this is when we suddenly get, like, this is so nice, and we're having a great time, and then you had to talk.
Yes.
Only the moment before we phrase that struck at the heart like a poniard's blow.
The last piece in this set is called Fragment. And what I want to make sure and mention before we talk about that is that directly before it, there is a one-page piano interlude. Ooh. So again, we get a song cycle that has some piano music in there to give the singer a little bit of a break and to give the singer a rest.
And also to give the pianist an opportunity to show that they are not here just to be in the background. I do try to pick pieces of music that I feel not only show off what I can do, and I think that's something that we need to do more often in the collaborative art form that is voice and piano.
Yeah, absolutely. And this piece is a really great example of that because the words start out with the breath of life and then here you come.
Exactly. And the piano sort of gives you a little breath of life going up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful the way that's set. And then as we get through the piece, we're talking about a flashing smile, a touch of hands, and you're just going crazy over there. Like, ooh, so much energy. Yes, and once a fleeting kiss. So just beautiful text, very sexy, all of them, and really nice to sink your hands into something like this.
The breath of life imbued those few days. All we had was this, a flashing smile, a touch of hands, and once a fleeting kiss.
I did contact Laura Kaminsky before I purchased the scores because on her website she says she wants to have people transpose these. She wants these to be available for everyone to be able to sing.
Which I think is so important for including trans people in these spaces that have been alternatingly hostile and friendly to them. When we allow music to be transposed, we make it available to low and high voices, especially for music that doesn't demand one or another.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I contacted her, I wrote to her, I asked her about the keys, I asked her about the songs. She sent me directly to where I could purchase them, and she confirmed that she had no problem with them being transposed. So we are able to move these keys around to make sure that it suits us as mm-hmm. best as possible. I would suggest if you're going to do something like it as a cycle, you might want to make sure that the key relationships stay the same
mm-hmm.
or look at that because there may be some songs that would suit better in slightly different key, but you want to preserve if you took one of them up a minor third and one of them up a perfect fourth, mm-hmm. it might change some of the relationships. So look into that.
Absolutely. Such an intimate grouping of music. I love it.
Exactly. As far as a level, what are we thinking?
I think that these are accessible given the range. Like, no matter where you transpose it to, the range does not really jump around. It would just be a matter of rhythmic things and holding one's own and making sure that you're doing justice to the text because it is quite intimate and sexy, if you will. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mature enough to handle a topic as such.
Musical clips for this episode were performed by soprano Tony Marie Palmertree and pianist Ellen Rissinger and recorded at Morningstar Studios in Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Purchase information for the scores discussed in this episode are available in the show notes.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to help others find this podcast.
Episodes drop every first, third, and fifth Thursday of each month. So Lit, Song Lit is a production of Cincinnati Song Initiative. You can learn more about their network of podcasts at cincinnatisonginitiative.org/podcasts.
Are you craving incredible song recitals? Are you interested in a behind-the-scenes view into professional songmaking at the highest levels of artistry? Are you looking to develop your own artistic and entrepreneurial skills as a classical musician in this ever-changing 21st century landscape? If you found yourself saying yes to any of those questions, look no further than Cincinnati Song Initiative's week-long program, The Fellowship of the Song. Taking place this year from May 19 through 26, the Fellowship brings together some of the country's brightest song performers and teachers for a week of classes, concerts, and study events. And we invite you to join us as an auditor, either in person in Cincinnati or online wherever you may be located. When you join the Fellowship as an auditor, you gain instant access to the entire week's events and can go back and relive the magic through HD video recordings of each and every session. To learn more about this incredible new opportunity, visit CincinnatiSongInitiative.org/audit.